On this episode of the Edge podcast, Clear Edge CEO Leslie Vickery interviews Rana Driggs, president of Volt Consulting Group, a global end-to-end talent acquisition and workforce management services provider. Rana shares her history in the recruitment industry, as well as Volt's history with how the company was started on only $13. Rana describes how her background in staffing has helped her grow her MSP team so quickly over the past year. She shares her leadership mantra, lead how you want to be led, and how the continual evolution in the industry excites her, especially in the MSP space. I hope you enjoy this interview.
Hi everyone, this is Leslie Vickery, CEO of Clear Edge Marketing, and I am here on this week's episode of the Edge podcast with Rana Driggs, the president of Volt Consulting Group. So Rana, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome. I'm honored to be on this podcast with you, Leslie.
I love that we both share a long history in the staffing and recruitment industry. You, however, have been with the same company for over 21 years. So congratulations. It's a terrific accomplishment. And I have two questions for you. So first, what is it about Volt that keeps you there?
So I think of the adage, people work for people, not companies. And that really does apply to me, Leslie. It's not just my team and my colleagues, but of course the clients that I've worked with for so many years.
I love it. That's actually a very good perspective. I think focusing on the people is really important, and we're going to cover that in a little bit because I know that something as a leader that's very important to you as you grow and foster your team. I think people would love to learn too how, so obviously 21 years you didn't necessarily join the company as the president. So tell us a little bit about your career progression over the years.
So it's a little bit of a crazy story that I'm going to share. Most people don't know.
Oh, good. This is juicy. Let's hear.
So I was recruited by our co-founder, Jerry Shaw. And it happened in 1994, and which was 2 years prior to me coming on board. I was actually looking to rent a condo in San Diego at the time. And I had an appointment on a Saturday morning to see the condo. And it turns out he was the owner. And so when he learned that I was in the staffing industry, he quickly lost interest in me as a tenant and started recruiting me. He followed me for a few years and then eventually convinced me to open up the Minnesota market for Volt. We had just won the 3M contract and he needed to open up the market. Volt did not have a presence in actually the Midwest really at all, and certainly not a single office location in the Minneapolis-St. Paul market. So I started my career there as a regional manager in charge of opening several new markets throughout the Midwest. And from there, I progressed to an RVP, a VP, a senior VP, and now president of VCG and executive VP at VWS, which is our staffing division.
So I learned something new about you today then. That's a great story. And I actually noticed on LinkedIn, the way I found this article, you had liked this Pulse post. And the headline is, so this tracks back to how you even got recruited and started with by one of the co-founders. So the story or the headline was, what would you do with $13? The story of Volt. And I wasn't familiar with this background whatsoever, so I thought it was really cool that they published this article, but perhaps you can share a little bit more about the evolution that I'm guessing a lot of people don't know, that it was basically two brothers starting the company and then obviously where you've grown to today as a firm.
Yeah, so it's really a pretty amazing success story, Leslie. Volt was started by, as you mentioned, by two brothers, Bill and Jerry Shaw, in 1950. Bill was actually laid off and looking for a job and was very unsuccessful at the time. You know, and at that point in time, the unemployment market was extremely high. A lot of people looking for jobs. And one day he came home and he got so tired of looking for work and not finding anything that he told his brother, Jerry, if someone else won't give me a job, I'll give myself a job. Jerry always tells the story. He said he looked at him like he was crazy. The two pooled their money And in total, between the two of them, they had $13. And with $13, they were trying to figure out what they could afford. And all they could afford at the time were pencils and pads of paper. And they decided that it was enough to start a technical writing firm. Their big break was getting a government contract to write the technical manuals for the Atlas missile, which is just crazy. Wow. That put them on the map. And as their business grew, they started providing technical writers to their clients instead of doing the projects themselves. That's how they started the staffing business. Over the years, Volt has been a global leader in staffing, but the entrepreneurial spirit that has launched the company still inspires us today. In fact, I have to share with you that I have the pleasure of seeing Jerry Shaw once a week. He still comes into the office at 92 years old.
Wow.
And clips newspaper articles for my team to help us generate sales leads. He's truly incredible.
Okay, that is the cutest thing. He clips newspaper clippings to give you leads? That's fantastic.
He does, and he's done it in the whole 21 years I've known him. I used to get these inner office envelopes with these little newspaper clippings or something in the mail that was a sales lead from him, and he still to this day brings his newspaper in from the weekend and clips all of the articles out of the business section that he thinks are good sales leads or good information for us.
Oh, I really like that. I have to say my dad does that to me all the time. He'll call or send me things and say, hey, this staffing company opened here. Hey, you should look into this. And I just think it's so sweet. That's great. And I could not agree more with the statement you made early on about if they don't invest in themselves, you know, who will invest in them? And
right.
That really stems to that confidence piece, like having confidence in yourself. My gosh, and look at what they've been able to grow over the years. That's pretty fantastic. So
it really is. And I think the article also referenced, you know, how Volt got its name. And it was they were going through the dictionary to find a company name. And they finally got to the V's. And Jerry, and he's quite funny, he said, you know, they found the word Volt in the dictionary, and it was the electrical measure of potential. And he said, all we had at that time was potential. So that's how the company got its name.
Well, your marketing team's pretty fortunate to have a lot to work with as far as just a history and a good story. And I love the using the definition of Volt also. It's pretty cool differentiation wise. So that is good. Thank you for sharing that with us. I just, after reading that article, I felt like it was important for others to perhaps hear the inspiring story and what that means to you as well. So, Rana, you have had tremendous success in your first year of running Volt's MSP division. Tell us a little bit about what, in such a short period of time, you did to see such success. And I know you have a tremendous team behind you and a great company and so forth, but what is it within that short period of time that has just worked so well for you all and clicked?
So, you know, as you said, Leslie, success is always about a team. And I was fortunate enough to inherit a team of people who were open to new ideas and approaches to create more value for our clients. You know, I worked side by side along the MSP division for many, many years. And in fact, Volt Consulting Group back in the day was procure staff and one of the first MSPs in the industry with Lucent at the time. And, you know, we needed to do something different. We needed to change the way the game was played, so to speak. And we have become extremely collaborative with our staffing division, which wasn't always there. And that means more and more great ideas are brought to the table every day. And I think what has lent itself to our success, Leslie, is that my staffing background, I think, has enabled us to put a staffing lens on our MSP services that I truly believe is lacking in the MSP space as a whole. First generation programs, they want visibility, technology, cost savings, risk mitigation, supplier consolidation, and optimization. But the second generation programs, and certainly the third generation programs that are starting to come about now, are looking for us to bring talent acquisition strategy to their business. Talent acquisition is the part you can't automate. It changes continuously, and it's the most difficult service to deliver in the MSP space today. The technology, the supplier management, and all the other standard MSP services are now basic expectations of everyone in this industry. So I think our success is really about understanding that our clients want to solve their talent acquisition. When they first launched into an MSP, again, going back to the first generation programs, it was all about, you know, the visibility and getting control over their staffing spend. But now they're realizing that the MSP doesn't solve their talent acquisition problems, right? They need people. It's a tight unemployment market. And they really want us to sit at the table and consult with them on how to bring talent in with all of the different talent, emerging talent pools today. They want that expertise. And I think that I have brought that to my team, and we're continuing to evolve. And I look forward to celebrating many more successes in the future. It's a great team. We have a good client base, and we just needed some attention and infusion of kind of that what's next and how do we delight our clients in this space and be different than everybody else.
I love one of our clients had a tagline, surprise and delight, which I always loved.
Yes.
So just what can you do that's a little bit different than the others in that? I mean, obviously the space, there's a lot of companies now in the recruitment space trying to do MSP, RPO, really that full talent workforce solution. And it sounds like from what you all are doing, you really have that recipe for success. So that's fantastic. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
I was really happy when I saw you landed on the inaugural Global Women 100 Power Women in Staffing list. And that's part of, obviously, SIA put this list out. I believe the second list is about to come out, but you were on the very first one. And I wanted to read something that Michael Dean, so your CEO, had this to say about you. As an executive leader at Bolt, Rana has earned the respect of both clients and colleagues. She has earned the loyalty of her teams over the years and frequently demonstrates her ability to work productively across division lines. Rana is instrumental in our clients' continued confidence in Bolt's workforce and managed services solutions. So no small feat to make this list. There are thousands and thousands of women globally across, you know, the world, obviously globally, looking at making a list like this, and you were one of 100. So first of all, congratulations. And again, I was really happy to see that you made it. One thing that stood out in what Michael said, and I'm always intrigued about this, just as a leader of our own company and looking at my own team, one of the things that I was intrigued about is being, you know, people being loyal to their leader. And that's something that Michael really honed in on in his quote as well. What is it about your leadership style that makes your team so loyal?
So Leslie, this is the hard part because I'm really great at talking about everyone else, but not so great about talking about me.
I know. It's hard, but do it. Let us learn from you, which means you have to talk about yourself.
I think, you know, I'm told often and from my team that my passion is contagious. I do believe a good leader inspires their team and leads by example, not decree. And, you know, we are in the people business, and I truly believe that if we take care of our employees, they will take care of our candidates and our clients in the same way. I'm also sure to remind everyone, and of course myself on occasion, that our enthusiasm and passion for our work makes a difference in people's lives, that this isn't just a job. I also think, Leslie, that you know, I lead how I want to be led. And I'm a big believer in inclusion and empowerment and giving my team the leeway to make decisions that best serve our employees and our clients. I want that entrepreneurial spirit that started this company to continue to thrive. And I do believe that spirit is very much alive at BCG today.
Okay, I lead how I want to be led.
Yes.
Like, you know, you often look at people and wonder, how can you treat someone that way? Or how can you say that, you know, treat others as you would want to be treated? That's something that I will take to heart. I really appreciate that from a leadership perspective. I think it's important. And obviously with your team, they believe in you and will take that to heart as well. So maybe we'll work on a piece where they can share their stories about you and then you don't have to talk about yourself. But I do appreciate you giving that insight. I recently was asked how I cultivated my leadership style over the years. And it took me a while to think about, you know, well, gosh, what is my style and how do I do that? So now you've answered what that style is, but tell us a little bit about how you cultivated that over the years. What was it that, you know, emulating other people, seeing key, like, what was it about you, how you have developed over the years as leader?
So I think I had a lot of role models. I had quite a few mentors in the staffing industry, not only here, but at my, in my previous 6 years in the staffing business. And I think that the key for me was, you know, I realized early on that respect is not given, it's earned. And it's not something that comes with a title automatically, that you really do need to earn the respect and the trust. Trust is a big one for me, of your colleagues, your clients, everyone. And the way I do that is, I think, by understanding and knowing how to do every job I manage. And, you know, I've done the sales role, I've done the recruiting role, I've done all of the roles, even though I didn't start as a recruiter and I started as a manager in the organization, I took it upon myself to really understand what it means to be at every seat at the table. And I think that has what, that is what I always kept in my mind, is how do I tell people or coach people how to be better or do their job better if I don't know how to do the job myself. And so I think that is what cultivated my leadership style. And I think from there, you know, I think my team would say I truly care about people. And I, again, I go back to the leading how you want to be led. And I do think that success is very much dependent on my team always says they will walk through fire for me, not because they have to, because they want to. And I think that is, that's powerful. And I always looked at, I looked at some of my best leaders, you know, some of my favorite bosses over time, and people that I highly respect in this industry. And they have similar characteristics, and they really do take care of their people. And it shows in their results, and it shows in the loyalty. And loyalty is not something you get very often these days, especially this kind of tenure. And I have a lot of people who've been with me. Matter of fact, I have the first employee that I ever hired here 21 years ago.
Oh, wow. This is
me. Yes.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
Well,
crazy.
You know, going back to the list for a second here, you are a role model for men and women in our industry, but I'd be curious just to know your perspective. I know, you know, you're a huge proponent of supporting women in business and women in the recruitment space in general. Those who look up to you, I guess, what advice would you have for them, who, for women entering into our industry today?
So I think you need to, you know, my advice would be to anyone, but in particular to women entering the staffing industry, is to work hard to be an expert. Learn everything you can about the industry, kind of like what I did, right? Sitting down, understanding each chair and each role and how your role impacts your clients. Know your products, but most importantly, we need to listen to our clients. This is such a competitive industry, and I think the best way to stand out is to strive to do better and get every single detail right. I think it's important to find role models, and that's my advice to the women. You need to find role models. You need to find people who you can learn from. Pay attention to their leadership style. What do these women do to leverage their talent and advocate for themselves and their teams? How do they get visibility and credibility? How do they earn recognition? There are many valuable lessons to learn from role models. I also think it's important to remember that you're likely a role model to somebody else. They are watching you too, so make it count.
I like that, make it count. And I think a lot of people underestimate, as they're coming up in their career, the impact that people have on their career at that time, until sometimes later in their career when they look back and think, oh my gosh, I remember when this person did this, or I learned this. So I think it's nice today for us, we have, you know, not only do you look at when you're interviewing or you're looking within career advancement of your own company or just professional growth, to look inside the company you're with to see who you can, you know, learn from role model wise. And I also am happy to see that there is a Global Power 100, you know, women in staffing list. TechServe hosts an annual luncheon every year for women in staffing. Obviously, ASA launching their women in staffing group. So there's more opportunities, I think, today for women to actually see some role models and have role models. With that, I also think it's important, and, you know, we talk about this a lot, you know, men and women both making a difference. And certainly I've had a lot of very successful male role models as well as women. I'm just happy that there's more of an opportunity for women to see successful women in our industry. It's becoming more visible, which is terrific.
Yes.
So with that, you and I have both spent the majority of our careers in staffing. What excites you most about being in our space today? What are some trends you're seeing?
So I think what excites me is the continual evolution, Leslie. I wish I could sometimes travel back in time and tell the 20 years younger me what was coming. I doubt I would have believed it back then. Our MSP programs have expanded to manage, you know, SOW projects, outsourced services, so many other labor categories, and of course, technology. You know, the advancement in the technology that's available to support programs allows us to add the efficiency and the deep dive performance analytics, which is very much a trend today in the industry. And maybe most of all, you know, the contingent labor landscape is changing. You've got the current H-1B challenges, you've got the gig economy, the freelance and other emerging talent pools. All the experts in our industry need to keep learning, and that's exciting to me because I've been doing it 21 years, but every day is new, and something changes every day. Every day there's something new to learn and another relationship to pursue, and it's not just about, you know, your clients. Now it's about your partners in you know, in the freelance industry and in the staffing industry. Your partner relationships are becoming probably as important as your client relationships are, and that's a trend, and I think that's going to continue.
I couldn't agree more on that. We have seen, especially, you know, obviously being in marketing, on the candidate marketing side, the number of technologies that are available today to recruitment companies and the enterprise firms in talent acquisition, just to, if you look across the spectrum from sourcing to interviewing and onboarding and retention, it's truly unbelievable how many options there are out there today. It's pretty fascinating. It's very exciting to see so much investment going on in our space. That's great for us, right?
Yes, absolutely. Couldn't agree more.
So, Rana, I'm going to put you on the spot and end with a little fun. Although, if you've listened to our podcast in the past, I sometimes ask this question and sometimes don't. So, hopefully, you are catching you a little off guard. No, that said, just before we end, I'd love for you to just share with us one thing we don't already know about you that others may find surprising.
So, I think many people might not know that I have two beautiful daughters, ages 13 and 14, and that I'm a single mom by choice. I decided I had spent the better part of my life building my career, focused on moving my career, climbing the corporate ladder, and the one thing I was missing was that family, and I decided to have children on my own, and I knew I could, you know, there's such a stigma today around single moms, and so I say this single mom by choice because it was a choice, and I don't want people, you know, people generally, it's so crazy because people generally feel sorry for single moms. Oh no, you're a single mom. And for me, it's the greatest thing that ever happened to me. And I'm so proud of my girls and amazed to see them becoming young ladies. And you know, we've talked a lot about inspiration and leadership on this podcast. And I guess when I really look deep, they are my source of inspiration, Leslie. I have a lot on my plate with the career I have. I travel a lot. I'm probably traveling 60 to 70% of the time. So I balance a lot of priorities like most working moms do, but I make the most of every day. And I also plan for my future for my daughters. And I want them to take risks like I've taken in my life and to not be afraid of failure and to understand that things aren't always perfect and that there's a level of chaos in life always, but that you can hit it head on. And so I have a purpose, and those are my daughters right now. And I think my girls just keep me going. They're amazing, and they complete me. So that's what I'd like to share.
Well, they are blessed and fortunate to have you, not only as a mom, but as a kind of built-in role model for them. And I'm sure they have access to learning from you and everything that you've done, obviously, firsthand. Being raised by a single mom myself at a very, very young age, I think that, and she was, you know, a CEO and really raised my sister and I to try and keep our heads on straight. And
yes.
It just what you just said really touched me. So thank you for sharing that story. And again, they're very, very fortunate to have you as a mom to learn from and watch as they grow up. So Rana, thank you for joining us today. How, if people want to get in touch with you, how can they get a hold of you?
Email is rdriggs@volt.com. Certainly on LinkedIn, you can search my name. I think there's only one of me. And Twitter is @RanaDriggs. So pretty simple. And, you know, love to connect with as many people as possible and help wherever I can. And like I said, I don't know everything, and I lean on a lot of people to help me every day. And I hope that I can do that for many, many others.
Well, I know just by sharing your story here today, you have done that. And I would encourage people to follow you on Twitter. It's funny, when we run into each other at conferences, it's like we've seen each other, but it's, you know, yesterday, but it's mainly because we follow each other on social. So it's nice to connect with you here today. And thank you so much again for opening up and sharing your background and story with everyone.
Thank you, Leslie. I appreciate the opportunity.
Thanks for listening to this week's The Edge episode. If you enjoy this podcast, please rate and subscribe to the podcast in iTunes. And you can also email me at etatum, T-A-T-U-M, @clearedgemarketing.com. And let me know if you have any questions or if you want to hear about anything in particular as it relates to our Women in Staffing series or our marketing episodes. So just shoot me an email, and I look forward to connecting with you. Thank you.